this Wednesday show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and thank you for joining us. You want to get on the ride? Get on the horn and give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails, whether it's about March Madness and the conference tournaments and brackets or NFL free agency or whatever. Hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out rayandtaytoday.com. We'll be up, you know, we'll be fixing up and updating the website in a couple of days, getting you ready for the brackets, free agency. So look at that. Check out Facebook, Twitter. Tweet at us your thoughts about these teams, who's making moves. And also, always check us out on YouTube as well, you know, iTunes, the podcast
is
there.
Check
out some great
media.
Interviews. We are everywhere, Ray. We are. Let them know, man. This show is pretty focused. Let them know what we're breaking down.
All right. This is going to be focused on football because free agency started yesterday, so we're one day into free agency. We'll talk a lot of football on this show. So if you've got some thoughts, if you've got some things you need to get off your chest, if you like what your team owner and GM and coaches are doing, let us know. If you hate it, let us know. We'll go through and talk about our initial thoughts about NFL free agency. And then after that, we'll switch it up, talk some hoops. We'll talk college hoops. We're in the middle of March, so March Madness is right around the corner. We've got conference tournaments this week. We've got Selection Sunday this Sunday. We've got the NCAA tournament starting next Thursday or Tuesday, technically. And then we'll swing around the NBA because, you know, I said, wake me up in April. So I got out of my deep sleep, and now I'm in light sleep. I'm getting ready to be woken up. So we're almost ready for NBA playoff time.
Just definitely heating up. So, you know, before we jump into it, I got to say, I got to tip my hat to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Finally, you know, hit the bucket list, went to spring training baseball over the weekend, and Salt River Field is an amazing stadium. It sits about 12,500 people. It was sold out, packed, so the D-backs and Padres, you know, took my boys, my niece and nephew were in town, and it was a 2-2 tie, extra innings, 10 innings. You know, they don't go all crazy in baseball and extra innings for spring training. But I got to say, man, it's, you know, it's a great sight, you know, trying to get Ray out here, and everybody, I would say, if you've never been to it, go check out spring training, whether it's in the Grapefruit League in Florida or the Cactus League in Arizona. Lots of fun, and you know, like always, it's, you know, they get you with the cheap seats, Ray, but then they hit you with the prices for a hot dog, water. They get you.
They're no dummy.
They get you. So where do you want to begin? Because I think we need to start and work our way through each division and stuff like that. It's only day two, but there has been already more than $1 billion in contracts signed in the NFL. And really, the money doesn't matter so much because it's funny money in the NFL. It's only what's guaranteed, you know, the signing bonus. And for us, look, it's not our money, so it doesn't matter. But it's more about the players, you know, even the impact on fantasy football and stuff like that. But through free agency and the draft, teams can really, you know, change their team from year to year. We always joke about the NFC South, right, how they're always, you know, one year is the Bucs in first, then the Panthers, then this and that. So you want to see, I think we got a caller, or do you want to just get into this first and talk about some of these teams?
Oh, I don't see any caller on our panel there, but let's just jump into it. We can go division by division. If we've got a caller, you can punch him in.
Yeah, let's
him
let's,
or her.
Let's see what we got. Hello?
Hey.
Caller, you're on the air?
Yes, I think so.
How you doing?
Hey, Cole, welcome
to Ray and Tay Today.
Tay Today.
I'm doing good. You guys?
Great. What's on your mind?
Anything, really. Whatever you guys are talking about, I'm cool to join in.
Well, we're talking about some NFL football and some of these free agent signings. I guess we could start right off with the AFC. Did you hear about who's your favorite team, and did you like some of the moves that the Broncos have made, already getting DeMarcus Ware, T.J. Ward from the Cleveland Browns, the safety, and the cornerback, Aqib Talib from the Patriots. Any thoughts?
Right. Yeah, I heard about those. Those were some big moves by the Broncos trying to beef up their defense. It's they're looking good right now. I see some other good free agents out there currently that other teams can get.
Okay,
well,
who's
your
favorite
team?
The Browns and the Chargers.
Okay.
Browns and the Chargers.
So,
okay.
Are you excited about the moves the Browns made? I mean, the Browns made a big splash.
Whitner and
and Carlos Dansby from the Cardinals out here.
That's correct, yes. Those were some big moves for our defense.
And you released Brandon Whedon.
Yeah,
right?
That's
definitely
and,
not going to be your quarterback.
And we released Jason Campbell as well.
That's right. So let me ask you this. Who do you want to be the quarterback for the Browns? Do you want to draft somebody and one of the big three quarterbacks in the draft, or do you want to sign a Michael Vick or try to get Schaub from the Texans if they release him? Who would you have be the quarterback next year?
Well, I mean, we had looking from earlier last year when Brandon Hoyer was our quarterback, he was really good for us. And then we have Johnny Manziel out there as well, A.J. McCarron, and others.
So you take a shot and draft a young quarterback? You might want to draft Johnny Manziel?
Yeah, maybe. We also got Bridgewater. He's very good.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, it's funny. The franchise may have looked different. I really liked Brian Hoyer before he tore up his ACL, so it's a shame that he went down right after winning those three games. But it's very likely that one of those two quarterbacks will be there. It looks like Bortles might go number one. So it looks like Bridgewater or Manziel will be there when you choose, when your Browns choose. So more than likely you're going to have one of those two quarterbacks in your camp starting in a few weeks. Or in a couple of months, I should say. So it looks like you guys are just starting to revamp and reload. Now, you had a lot of free agent money. So this Browns team that we see now that finished last year is not going to be the same team that you finished this year with. So as a Browns fan, I guess do you live in Cleveland? Are you in Ohio?
No, I'm in Arizona, Phoenix.
You're in Phoenix. Okay. And so you got split allegiances here between the Browns, and you also like the San Diego Chargers.
That is correct.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Did you like the Chargers move, Adam? Did you like the Chargers did a move, and they signed the running back, Donald Brown, from the Colts to
Donald
help
Brown,
with Matthews?
Yes.
Yeah, you like that?
He's a very solid running back. Richardson, he's ready to step up for the Colts, I guess, right now.
Well, they better hope so. Well, listen, Adam, we've got to move on with the show, but thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it.
Great call.
Hey,
You're very knowledgeable.
Thank you.
Yeah, keep listening and keep calling to Ray and Tay. We appreciate it, man. Take care.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks.
Yep,
there you go.
Bye.
See? Young caller calling in and getting us going with NFL free agency. You got to like that. So, Ray, I guess, you know, he kind of set it off there with the, you know, let's just stay right there in AFC. You know, we mentioned it with what the Broncos did. The Chiefs lost a couple of linemen, you know, down to Atlanta and down to the Dolphins. And the Broncos, you know, signed those three guys. But, you know, they also got rid of some veterans and Champ Bailey. They lost Beatty, the offensive lineman. The Raiders are still, you know, they got Howard and Saffold, but, you know, they lose one of their linemen. And they're trying to, you know, look at some veterans today, Tuck and Terrell Thomas in the secondary and my boy Lamar Woodley from the Steelers. I hate to say goodbye to my Michigan guys, go blue. But, you know, what do you think
Ryan
in terms
Clark.
Of those moves in the AFC West? You know, the Chargers made a couple little minor moves so far. Are the Broncos making the biggest splash in the AFC and in the AFC West? Or do you like what they're doing? Or are they taking too much of a risk?
No, you know what? You have to. And even though in about 2 years they might be the worst team in football given all what they're doing now and given all the money, guaranteed money that they're putting into Tlaib and then Ware you know, they've got, obviously, Manning. They have to. You have to. You are a
this close.
throw a fluke, you know, defensive lapse around probably going to the Super Bowl last year. You went, right, against the Ravens. They really should have won that game. They're the better team. They should have beat the Ravens there at home. So you're probably thinking to yourself, we maybe could have even won the Super Bowl, but at least gone to the Super Bowl probably. You know, you win that game, you win the next game, you're in the Super Bowl. So you figure you're in the Super Bowl with Peyton's first year. You're the Super Bowl favorite, Peyton's second year, a slight favorite probably. And you figure you've got maybe one or two more years with Peyton Manning, and the one thing you were was a little bit soft and you needed to upgrade your defense. So what you'll lose on offense, Eric Decker, no big deal. You got to figure out if Ryan Clady is healthy and if he can come back. Maybe you lose a lineman, but you need to shore up your defense. So, look, you have to. You have to do it. John Elway is going for broke, and when you have Peyton Manning, you're not trying to reach the playoffs. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. So you have to. I tip my hat. He was very aggressive. You know, day one of free agency, picks up three of the top defensive free agents. So good for them.
Definitely, definitely. I agree with you, and I like what, you know, the Broncos did. If we look over at the AFC East, though, sort of the Broncos, they last year took away Wes Welker from the Patriots, and then this year they take away Tlaib. Now, the rumors are, you know, Tampa, we'll get to the NFC and what, you know, the Bucs are making big moves, but they released Darrell Revis. You know, they want to pay that $16 million. And so the rumors are that maybe the Browns, but, you know, although they might bow out, but the Patriots might sign Darrell Revis, even though, you know, Darrell Revis on ESPN last season called him a jerk, Belichick, whatever, yada, yada. Do you feel like the Patriots have to do something? Because it looks like now Edelman's looking with other teams. You know, they haven't agreed on a contract with him yet. Brady's so close, and like Manning, he's getting to the end of his career, but the Patriots just keep letting quality players leave the organization. What are your thoughts about the Patriots and the rest of the AFC East?
You know, the Patriots, oh, by the way, Steve Smith might go to the Chargers. Our young caller might be pleasantly surprised with, you know, Keenan Allen, Steve Smith, Antonio Gates.
Panthers are making a huge mistake, Ray, not keeping Steve Smith. You should add to him, not leave him. And Brandon LaFells is visiting the Patriots, so he might sign there.
Wow, they just want to blow up the whole offense and have no continuity. And you said Jonathan Stewart, right? We talked about this off air. Jonathan Stewart's gone too, right?
No, I don't know. No, I think Jonathan Stewart is still there. I haven't heard anything about Jonathan Stewart.
Okay. So, look, I don't get the Patriots at times, right? Maybe they know something that I don't know. And maybe Rob Gronkowski can play three positions on offense, and he's Superman. Because it sounds like they're letting a lot of talent go. Now, Aqib Tlaib, maybe he wanted too much money. Maybe they didn't like the fact that, and Robert Kraft said that he didn't really love the fact that in the two most critical game in the back-to-back AFC Championship games, he got hurt and couldn't finish those games. So that was an issue. But so you let
your, but he locked it. You saw when he locked down Jimmy Graham. You
course,
can't just get that type
of
talent anywhere.
Of course, I'm not saying. No, I'm not
They're
saying.
Bugging.
I don't know. I mean, but again, they always reload somehow, some way. If I would have told you that this team would have gone 12-4 with Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman as their starting wide receivers.
No
You'd
doubt.
Say no way, and a running back by committee. Yeah. They didn't even play Ridley, who potentially is a star on another team. He's got a little bit of a fumble problem.
And they might lose the back that stepped up, LeGarrette Blount.
LeGarrette Blount, yeah.
So
I don't know. It's one of those where you can't – that's one of those teams, though, to their credit. They have a lot of draft picks. And so to their credit, though, you can't evaluate them until training camp begins. So the first day of free agency, and they're a pretty shrewd team, right? So the first day of free agency, now you know that Aqib Tlaib won't be back, right? But other than that, you can't really evaluate them so far. They're one of those teams where you need months to evaluate how well they did.
True, true. Well, staying in the AFC East, you know, the Bills lost Jarius Byrd to the Saints. That was, kind of big move by the Saints, shoring up their defense because Malcolm Jenkins left the Saints and went to the Eagles. But the Jets right now, you know, no, they couldn't get McCown to come visit. He stayed and signed with Tampa after his first visit going down there. He'd be returned back to Lovey and has got the starting job now. But Eric Decker, he's in the building in New York with the Jets, and you know, it's looking like that Eric Decker might wind up signing with the Jets. Are you sort of surprised that these receivers, like we know Golden Tate signed with Detroit Lions. That was huge, right? About five years, $31 million. But, like, for example, Hakeem Nicks, Emmanuel Sanders, even Decker, do you think the Jets need to get two receivers? Or
yes, for sure.
Yeah,
I think the one thing Eric Decker gives the Jets, which they haven't had for a while, is size at the wide receiver position, right? So everybody's been short and thin, and that's almost – I'd rather have Decker, and obviously he's going to be more expensive, but I'd rather have Decker than Tate, right? Tate's 5'10", 5'11". Decker's a good, you know, 6'2", 6'3". So I'd rather have some
especially
size
for the
wide
red zone,
receiver.
Right?
Yeah, and you know what? We haven't had real size for the Jets since Plaxico Burress, and even he was a one-year kind of stopgap measure, right? So – I like the Jets bringing in multiple receivers. It's all about expectations, right? I don't believe Eric Decker is a number one. I don't know if he thinks that he's going to get paid like a number one, but I don't want him to be number one. And I also don't want him to be in the New York media market to be number one, right, to be a number one receiver, because then they're going to have these huge expectations like they did for Santonio Holmes
and
other
number
one receivers.
Number one.
Okay, but that's the football person in you speaking. But once you start the media hype, and of course he's got that. Does he still have that reality TV show with his wife?
I think so. I've never seen
he's
it.
He's got
but
the reality TV show. Yeah. You know, number one receiver for the Jets. He'll be the new Mark Sanchez. You know, and that's dangerous. That's dangerous for a young man's career. So if he gets, that's another reason why I hope they get a receiver equal to him. So they'll have sort of co-number ones. And if they'll bring, you know, the soldier back, Kellen Winslow Jr., or they draft either a wide receiver or a tight end, bring in maybe a Michael Vick or a new quarterback, or you let Geno have a chance. I'm okay either way. But if there's a lot of change on offense, then you won't be able to put one guy under the spotlight, which I think is big.
Well,
share the misery.
Let me ask you this, right? Sort of something to throw out there. The Saints just, you know, they re-signed Pierre Thomas for 2 years. So they're moving on from Darren Sproles. How do you think Darren Sproles,
they might,
right?
They
already
might
got
trade Darren Sproles, right?
Well,
they were going to cut Darren Sproles won't
They're
cut.
Trying to trade him, but I'm saying with the Jets, right? They already got Chris Ivory from the Saints. How would you like to see a Darren Sproles who's so dynamic and gets you 60, 70 receptions, a little dump off for Geno? That's a nice weapon, because Darren Sproles also, you know, dual threat, special teams. That's someone that I could see on the Jets to move
it's
the chain.
A great weapon, because one of the things that we kept saying for the last, you could argue for the last 10 years, even those 2 years that the Jets went back-to-back to the AFC championship games, it was ground and pound. The Jets have not had playmakers. People do not, on the Jets, get the ball in space, make people miss, and matriculate the ball down the field. And that's exactly what Darren Sproles does. Darren Sproles, since he's entered the league, has the most touchdowns. I think he has 27 touchdowns receiving for a running back. And he is exactly the anti-Chris Ivory, right? So Chris Ivory is a pounded up the middle, and he's a solid, solid player.
Solid.
He's
a very good
complete compliment, though. He's a complete compliment. He's not your typical running back. He's a special teamer. He can catch the ball. He gets the ball in space. He makes people miss. He gets first down. I love it. I love it. He's a playmaker, and one of the very few playmakers out there that the Jets can get their hands on. So I would love to see Darren Sproles and put him in the Marty Morningwig offense and get him some, you know, Brian Westbrook type touches, you know, back when he was in Philly, or at the end, what LeSean McCoy does. Obviously, he can't touch the ball more than 10 or 15 times, but get him those touches in space and let's see what he can do at the turf, on the turf at MetLife Stadium.
So just bouncing around a little bit. So we mentioned, like, you know, Golden Tate to the Lions. That's really nice for Calvin to have a legit number two receiver. And it's interesting. I noticed you had said you like Decker better than Tate. But in a way, I don't know. I might like Tate because he does special teams. And Tate can kind of, you know, he's tough. He runs across the middle. He can beat one-on-one coverage. Sometimes Decker didn't always beat the one-on-one coverage. So I think the Lions just struck it rich. They re-signed Drake Bell, your guy. You know you love Drake Bell for fantasy football. And we will have to talk about how some of these free agency moves, we'll do it on another show, how they are going to affect fantasy football, because I think a Golden Tate with Calvin Johnson now, you know, Golden Tate's stats are going to be crazy playing with an offense like that. And there's rumors that the Lions might even still want to draft Sammy Watkins. So that would be just, I couldn't even imagine that type of lineup.
I don't think he'll be there for them.
No, yeah.
He doesn't pass the Raiders at 5.
Yeah, listen, the Raiders are weird. So they did Rashard Jennings left the Raiders and signed with the Giants, talking about some of these running backs, right, that are still out there. There's a plenty of them. But Darren McFadden, 1 year, $4 million, signed back with the Raiders. What do you think about Maurice Jones-Drew and potentially, they're saying Ben Tate maybe to Cleveland, Ben Tate, and then if Chris Johnson is officially probably going to be released from Tennessee, because they signed Dexter McCluster, who's a nice little running back receiver option, you know, to help them. What do you think about those three? Where do you think maybe they might wind up?
So it's interesting that in a year that the running back has been completely devalued, you have three guys that in a different era – people would be just clamoring to get.
Going crazy for, yeah.
Yeah. Now, CJ2K, I don't know if it's the contract that he got right after he, you know, had the 2K season and they ripped up 2 years on his contract and gave him his new contract. It was never the same. Maybe he doesn't like running inside enough. Maybe he's not as tough as other running backs. But I still think if his mind is right, he still runs a 4.24 or whatever, 4.3. He still is the fastest man on, you know, on any team he joins, right? And he's still a quality mm-hmm. running back. So I don't know if he's an $8 million quality running back, but certainly in a two-back system, if you can take a back that can bang and you can let Chris Johnson have the, you know, the sexy carries, run the sexy plays for him, as I like to say, he's a heck of a player. MJD, you know, probably more well-rounded, can also give you 60, 70 catches out of the backfield, although the mileage is starting to add up on him. I love MJD in a two-back system. I love MJD in a one-back system where you have a guy who gets, you know, 20% of the carries instead of splitting it 50-50. The best of the bunch, though, might be Ben Tate just because his mileage count is lower. Now, he doesn't catch
the ball
as much as MJD does, but he's young, and in that stretch offense that the Texans used to run, I really like Ben Tate. And his only bad luck was playing behind Arian Foster, who, again, I love Arian Foster. If he's healthy, he's right up there with because of how he catches it out of the backfield, he's right up there with, in my book,
Shady
with Adrian
and Jamal
Peterson.
Charles
Shady
and Peterson,
yeah, and even Adrian Peterson. So three great running backs. I'd love to have them on any team, right? I really do. I think the one head case potentially is Chris Johnson. You got to know where his head is at, especially if you give him big money again and guaranteed money. But those three guys can really help a team. I mean, I look at what Reggie Bush did to solidify that Detroit offense. And I think these three guys, you know, can do the same to another team that needs a steady running back. I mean, look at the Colts, right?
It's hard to place them. I can't fathom, except for Ben Tate going to Cleveland, I don't know where Chris Johnson and Maurice Jones-Drew are going to be next year. That's fascinating to me. And you know the Jaguars are sort of starting over because they definitely gave up and they traded Blaine Gabbert to the Niners for a 7th-round pick. That's amazing.
I told you he
top
wasn't
10 player.
Coming out of Missouri. Right. He was number 10,
yeah.
Right? He was the 10. But again, yeah. Once they made it cheaper to draft quarterbacks that should never have been first-round picks go. And not only when you're not a first-round pick and you get thrown in to a bad team and you get handed the ball
no
in your
weapons,
first
yeah.
year with no weapons, it's almost like you're doomed for failure. It's a recipe for disaster. Look, I didn't think he was that good coming out of college anyway, projected as a pro player, should have never been a first-rounder. Put Christian Ponder in that boat, put a lot of quarterbacks in this era in that boat.
Right, and looks like Minnesota's moving on from him. You know, the Jaguars re-signed Chad Henne, but they're going to draft a quarterback. And then Minnesota might draft a quarterback, even though they re-signed Matt Castle for 2 years. So then it's like those dominoes. You wonder, you know, the Jets will probably eventually release Sanchez. He'll have to go somewhere and be a backup. But what about Mike Vick? Does he get a shot in maybe Cleveland or Minnesota to compete, or the Jets as a backup, or maybe compete as a starter?
Look, Adrian Peterson wants him, and if Adrian Peterson wants him, at the very least, I think the Minnesota Vikings have to bring him in and talk to him. Apparently, the Vikings really like Matt Cassel, and or at least enough to bridge them to, you know, some new kid that they may draft at some point. I like Vic up in Minnesota on the turf. If you put Vic, and maybe he can resurrect Greg Jennings' career, right? But this kid, Cordarrelle Patterson, plus my guy, the tight end, plus the
Rudolph,
running back.
Yeah,
Kyle Rudolph.
That's a lot of talent.
Back, Adrian Peterson, I really like him in Minnesota. I think that's where he should go. I don't think he should come to New York. I think New York, if you bring him in, that means you're undecided to negative on Geno Smith. And it's okay to be undecided, but I think if the guy's in his second year, you have to get a backup like a Rex Grossman type, you know, in his mid-30s, somebody that is clearly the backup. He doesn't need to be challenged for his starting position. If he's going to fail, he'll fail this year or next, you know, this year, maybe going into next year. You got to let Geno earn it or lose it on the field, right? The guy led the league in interceptions. His confidence is probably – he seems like a confident guy, but his confidence has got to be a little shaken, right? He didn't have a great rookie year. And he took all the snaps, you know, virtually all the snaps. So, to me, don't bring Vic to New York. Best bet for Vic is to play in the turf, you know. Or actually, no, they're playing outdoors. Oh, for 2 years, Minnesota's playing outdoors at the University of Minnesota Stadium, right? But I still like him on that Vikings team. I still like Vic up in Minnesota. I think it's the best fit for everybody.
So we got to talk about some of our teams. I mean, well, a couple of other moves are just interesting, right? So, you know, these three great sack guys have got to find places, and DeMarcus Ware did. You guys released DeMarcus Ware, the Cowboys, and then he goes, you know, to the Broncos. Jared Allen is probably not going back to Minnesota, and he's saying if he doesn't get the right deal, he might just retire, you know, and he was potentially going to go visit the Broncos, but then they got him. And then our main guy from the North Carolina Tar Heels, oh, gosh, what's his name, the big defensive lineman for the Bears, he's not coming back to the Bears. So
Julius Peppers.
So you kind of, you know, wonder where these big, older, 30-plus sack, you know, guys are going to go. And then, you know, a couple of interesting, you know, moves that you see, like smaller moves. RG3 got a toy in Andre Roberts, who, you know, I've seen him out here the last couple of years, has really developed as a strong, very strong wide receiver for the Cardinals. You know, the development of Michael Floyd, they don't need him anymore. But Andre Roberts can really help Garcon, and they re-signed Santana Moss. So the Redskins have little weapons there. They could also be in the sweepstakes for Darren Sproles, which I think would be amazing for them to get him to help with Morris, the 1-2 punch. And then, I don't know what you thought about, you know, the Raiders let go sort of a young lineman in Lamar Houston, and he goes to the Bears to, you know, I guess be the replacement for Peppers. And then let me ask you what you thought about, you know, obviously the Niners lose Whitmer. We talked about that with our young caller, Adam, to the Browns, but then they bring in Bethea at safety, which is a great move from the Colts to the Niners, and then they trade for Jonathan Martin. So what are your thoughts about what the Niners did in bringing in maybe a sixth offensive lineman in Jonathan Martin, who was a steal, right, because he potentially, second-round pick, could be a stud starter, and then you bring in Bethea when you lose Whitmer.
Love
Do you like
it.
The Niners' moves?
I love what the Niners are doing. The Niners are doing what Denver's doing, is trying to win now. The Niners are a little bit different. They're not doing it out of desperation, but they are saying that, you know what, we have Kaepernick for another year as a cheap, you know, as a cheap quarterback, and then after that we're going to have to pay him, you know, between $18 and $20 million. So strike while the iron is hot. They have the best roster. They have the best team. They have the best, you know, probably odds to win the Super Bowl, right? They've been the best team over the last 3 years, so let's see how we can get them over the hump. So I love what the Niners are doing. Jonathan Martin coming back to the Bay Area, playing for his old coach, perfect. You get him as your sixth lineman. He could potentially be your left tackle, your right tackle. Maybe you move him to an interior lineman position, but great pickup. But Thea, you know, he's probably got a few more miles left in the tank. So I
he's
really
a big
like
hitter, too.
Yeah, I really like what they did. The Raiders, you mentioned the Raiders before, letting Houston go, I don't understand
that.
The Raiders
young
are perplexing
guy.
To me. They ended up keeping Rashard Jennings, and it looks like they're going
to
keep
Jennings went to the Giants.
I mean, they ended up keeping our boy from Arkansas, who's always injured.
McFadden, yeah.
Darren McFadden.
Yeah.
So,
one-year deal.
Maybe they'll go after
Maurice Jones-Drew as well, because you can't just trust Darren McFadden, and they have no other backs on the roster, really.
Yeah, I don't get it.
How about we got to talk about one of our favorite callers, Hank, who calls in, friend to the show and friend of ours, big
Dolphins
fan.
Dolphins have been active.
Well, yeah. I mean, getting Brandon Albert, who they wanted to get last year, the left tackle from
the
Chiefs. Right. So he goes there. He's from the area. He sounds excited about it. Then they bring back the cornerback that went to Atlanta for 1 year, Grimes, who was their player. I think the Dolphins are trying to make some moves. They're looking for another.
Yeah, they got Aaron Mitchell for 4 years, defensive tackle, and they brought in Delmas, the safety. Right,
yeah.
So they've got moves, very aggressive free agents, and I think they almost have to. They have to clear out, obviously, Jonathan.
They
got to
rebuild the whole offensive line.
Yeah, they do. They do. So they probably have to sign two in free agency and draft two, and hope that two to three of them start. So they really do have to blow up that whole offense and recalibrate it, or at least the offensive line.
And then we got to give the Falcons some love, right? So they lose Gonzalez, but they get two offensive linemen and then a big nose guard. What did you think about the Falcons? Even though they lost Grimes, I think getting Tyson Jackson and I forgot the other lineman they got, but they definitely got some beef. And I think that's the one thing the Falcons needed, right? They didn't have much on the offensive or defensive line, so trying to shore that up, I think, was pretty smart for the Falcons. I'd like to see if they're going to, you know, try to, you know, either draft secondary or try to sign another one of these corners that are out there, or even bring in a veteran safety like my man Ryan Clark from the Steelers.
Well,
Ryan
Clark might go to the Redskins. He'll be a coveted free agent. I mean, I think that
he's still a good player.
Suit,
I think Ryan Clark's
still
a good player. But did you see what my Steelers did? Now, there's talk that, you know, we let go of Foote and Kiesel, but they might come back. We offered Kotchery a deal, but we did sign the safety from the Panthers, Mike Mitchell.
Yeah.
I love it. I love Mike Mitchell. And, you know, 4 years, $25 million. Steelers don't ever sign starters at free agency, so that was a big deal for us. So I'm kind of happy. What do you think about the Cowboys? They lose Ware. They just signed, who's the lineman, Jeremy?
Oh, that's
Kinley,
right. Babineau went back to the Falcons, too, so we got to remember that. So they missed him, so they were able to pull him back. And also, you know, staying in that division, we talked about Steve Smith leaving, so that's a big deal. Talked about Darrell Revis leaving as well.
Yeah.
And then Josh.
Well, you know,
McCown
Tampa signed
in.
The Giants tight end, Brandon Myers. So now Tampa's got a tight end. They got receivers, Doug Martin, their running back, Mike James. Tampa Bay is loaded. I love
they
what they're doing.
Josh McCown.
And Michael Johnson. We didn't mention, I mean, you talk about, look, they signed five guys already, and since they released Revis, they're going to have more money, and they're going to probably sign a couple more guys. I could see them sneaking in and stealing an Emmanuel Sanders or one of those other receivers that's out there to go along with a Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams. That would be ridiculous if they put Sanders in the slot.
You know, we're all walking around saying that the NFC West is the best division in football. Especially if the St. Louis Rams can get their act together, because
right.
We know that the Cardinals, you know, the Seahawks and the Niners are fantastic, but that NFC South is also fabulous. Considering the Bucs not a bad team, you know, again, you are Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are, but in this case, they're a much better team than that record.
And you
got
like McCoy and Michael Johnson, Ray. You know from your Bengals, being a Bengals sort of pseudo-Bengals fan this year, Michael Johnson is legit. You throw him in with Gerald McCoy, woo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And you've got, you know, your running back coming back off injury, so you hope he's healthy. Doug Martin is healthy.
Did you hear they might bring in Peanut Tillman too, and they brought in the corner Alteron. They brought him in, and then
from Tennessee. That was a great pickup because that allowed them to get rid of Darrell Revis. Save that.
Yeah, he's a cover two corner.
Play
great
seven
zone.
Or eight. Yep.
It's good, and imagine if they bring in Hester for special teams because the Bears aren't re-signing him. Listen, guys want to play for their former coach, Lovey, but also just other guys, you know, respect Lovey. So if they could bring in adding the five guys they already got, and then they got their draft picks, and then you bring in also Peanut Tillman and Devin Hester, you had a heck of an offseason.
Oh, and they have that draft pick, right? They're probably, a top eight or nine draft pick. The only thing they did wrong are those jerseys.
You don't like them. You don't like the jerseys?
No.
You're killing them on the jerseys.
Creative. You could even go back to the popsicle jerseys. I'm all right with that. The 1979 Leroy Selman.
Yeah, we love those.
And
but we're old school. We love those. The new jerseys aren't bad.
The Rams, Vince Ferragamo style, you could bring those creamsicles back. But these new jerseys,
I don't know about Ferragamo. Yeah, Ray is bringing it back. Why are you going to Vince Ferragamo?
Well, that's it, 79. I mean, that was that last, 3 years after they're an expansion team and don't win a game, go 0-14, and 3 years later they're in the NFC Championship game.
So talk to me real quick. Before we put a little bow on day one and day two of free agency, with the Ravens, right? They didn't make the playoffs last year. It looks like Jacoby Jones, it's a battle between signing with New York, the Giants, or coming back to the Ravens. Maybe their best move was getting Kubiak, who can maybe help the running game, to get, Pierce and Ray Rice together back running the ball. But they re-brought in Arthur Jones. Oh, no, Arthur Jones left them and went to the Colts. My bad. The Colts made some moves, Arthur Jones and then Davis. But so they did keep Eugene Monroe, the left tackle. So, and they signed up Pitta. If they do lose Jacoby Jones, it's looking like they said that they might go after Steve Smith. How big would that be? Steve Smith with Pitta and our boys and Torrey Smith. That'd be kind of nice for the Ravens to sort of boost back up their offense. Anybody else that's really jumping off to you? Or, you guys might release the awesome Austin Miles, too. Miles Austin.
Yeah, Miles Austin's gone.
Might be gone.
And just like DeMarcus Ware is gone, just because we needed to.
But you might lose Hatcher. If you guys lose Hatcher, he's visiting the Raiders today. That would be horrible. Maybe
right,
he signed Chris Clemens, The Seahawks say $7.5 million when they release Chris Clemens. That's kind of surprising. But, maybe you guys get him.
Yeah, the Cowboys have been in a little bit of a salary cap bind for the last couple of years. So we'll see what they end up doing. But, the Ravens, again, another team that put $20 million into Joe Flacco and then signed
Can't
Ray Rice to the big deal. And I hope everything works out with Ray Rice and his fiance and
off
their
the field situations,
legal
yeah.
issues and their marital issues. But assuming he's back and assuming Pitta's back, Torrey Smith, to me, is not a pure number one. So if you were to get a Steve Smith in there to talk to him, to get in his ear towards the end of his career, Steve Smith's career, that is, beginning of or middle of Torrey Smith's career, the Smith brothers, I like that. I like that. You still need,
That'd
I think, even
nice.
One more weapon, right? Because I think Flacco needs one more weapon. But I like that. The veteran tutelage, even Dennis Pitta, he can bring under his wing a little bit. So I like those veteran receivers going to teams where they don't have to be the number one, where they can be the number two and maybe even the number three and add value on the field and in the locker room.
It's important. It's definitely important. And I think, we'll see as some of these big moves go down the next couple of days. And we'll probably be back on Monday and, talk about Selection Sunday and the rest of some more of the early parts of free agency. More guys will be cut as some of their bonuses are coming up the next couple of days in March. So it's going to be fascinating, and I want to see if – if the Patriots step up and get Revis or if the Jets try to get him back. I believe with Vontae Davis getting close to $10 million a year, seven, Revis is going to not get $16 million, but he'll surely be getting anywhere from $10 to $12 million a year wherever he signs, probably a three-year deal. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So, let's do it, man. Let's get into Selection Sunday's coming. And we know that the madness is beginning, and it's here. And you got teams that are already, earning spots. College basketball this year, this tournament, is going to be so crazy. So let's take a quick little break and come right back and talk about it. Ray and Tay today, March Madness. College hoops.
We're back. We're back to talk some college hoops, shouting out Mount St. Mary's. At 16 and 16, reaching
Ray,
the end, but that's
incredible.
What it's all about.
That's such a great story.
Conference tournament.
So an ACC tournament started today, and Wake won earlier, 81-69 over Notre Dame. Notre Dame's first time in the ACC tournament. They took an early L, so that's kind of interesting as the tournaments get started up.
By the way, can I just make a statement?
Yeah, tell me
fact.
Who's already made it.
Well, no, hold on. We'll go through that in a second. But Doug McDermott is the Big East Player of the Year. Tell me that doesn't sound weird. Doug McDermott of Creighton is the Big East Player of the Year.
It sounds so bizarre, but you know what? He's also going to be the National Player of the Year. I think without a doubt he came back and had a season that maybe Marcus Smart wish he had. Jabari Parker is definitely, up there. Wiggins has had a great year towards the back end, even in the loss last week for Kansas getting 41. But I think McDermott has definitely been the player of the year without a doubt. And then you can't forget about the Big Ten Player of the Year, which will probably be, or if it isn't already announced, Nick Stauskas from Michigan, who just got busy and led Michigan to the outright, conference title first place. So tell me, who has already clinched? Who's in the tournament before we finish off these rest of these tournaments and stuff?
Oh, so let's pull that up. I don't actually have the names of the school. Do you have that?
Okay. No, I mean, some of the teams that have already been in. Wofford's is back in. Harvard's in, Mercer is in, some of these teams. I mean, these are teams that are going to be anywhere from 12 to 16 seeds. Some of them might be in the play-in games, like a Mount St. Mary's. They'll probably be in a play-in. So it's going to be, pretty interesting. Also, final in the ACC, Miami took out Virginia Tech 57-53. So things are, are starting off pretty good in the ACC tournament. Obviously, the Big East tournament is going to get going. And I guess for me, you want to see these teams finish strong. The most interesting storyline is going to be, in terms of the tournament, Big 12, right? Has Oklahoma State already done enough? Can Kansas still do good enough to get a two seed or a one seed?
About Embiid, right? If the guy's not playing and they lose, but he's set to come back.
Right.
How does the tournament look at that? How does the tournament look at Embiid?
I couldn't see them dropping him further than the two line.
I don't know. They have a lot of losses. Don't they have seven losses already? And if they lose in the Big 12 tournament, they'll have eight losses. You have a number two seed with eight losses?
Well, let's look at the rank. I mean, I guess here are the teams, right? So you got Louisville's up there for a two seed. Duke, Virginia, San Diego State, do you put in Wisconsin? So, I think you might be right.
The projected number threes, though, you look at Virginia, you look at Creighton, an Iowa State, possibly a Syracuse, if they were to run the table now and win the Big East. You know, it's hard to imagine the four would jump up to a two, but, you know, you've got the Cincinnati's, the Louisville, so you got two, you know, American and old Big East Conference folks. You've got our North Carolina Tar Heels. Could they squeeze a better seeding than
four?
No,
I think they'll stay at a three. I think what's going to be interesting is that, okay, the ACC will probably have a situation where they have Duke and Syracuse. Syracuse would probably be a three seed, but Duke and Virginia would be two seeds, and then North Carolina probably would be a four seed. I mean, unless Carolina went through and won the tournament, I would believe that they would be a four seed. I think one thing that you mentioned that's going to be interesting is if, you know, one of these teams, you know, maybe runs the table and wins their tournament and some of the other teams get bounced. Like if UConn could beat out a Louisville, or if Memphis wins their tournament, or if Michigan State, you know, ranked 22, bounced up and wins the Big Ten, then, you know, how far, you know, do they move up, you know? So it's going to be great. But let me ask you this, right? Give you a couple teams. Are they Sweet 16
Bring
locks,
it on me.
Or could they go further? So I'll just give you four random teams here. SMU.
Well, anytime you have one of the best coaches to ever coach, now he can grate on your nerves and he can run out his, he can wear out his welcome. But anytime you have a Larry Brown as your coach, you've got a good shot to win some games. And he took Danny and the Miracles to the title. He took that Detroit Pistons team to the title. And this guy can coach. So, So SMU has a chance to go Sweet 16 and beyond, maybe Grade 8.
Connecticut. With great guard play.
Well, yeah, and that's the issue, though. They rely so much on Shabazz Napier that think that if you can get the ball out of his hands, or if you can force him into some bad decisions. Now he's a senior, so he's you know, he's got a lot of experience under his belt. I'm a little skeptical on UConn winning three games in the tournament. Maybe two. They'll probably be a five seed. So at some point, it depends on the matchup. At some point, they'll run into a four seed. So they'd have to beat, you know, a 12 seed and a four seed most likely. So they could probably give the four seed a run for the money, but I don't see them getting much past the Sweet 16.
All right, two more. One I think I already know is obvious, and one is a little bit more risky. I'll go with the risky one first. Oklahoma State.
Oh, so talented.
Could be an 8 to 10 seed.
I like Oklahoma State a lot. I think that if this, whatever.
They're going to get a 7 seed. Who knows?
Marcus Smart didn't happen. They probably would have had one or two more victories, even though they were starting to lose, right, leading up to that incident. So it's not like everything was roses in Stillwater. But I think that
Big 12
that
might
team,
get seven teams, Ray. I mean, Baylor's come on strong. This is going to be incredible.
Yeah,
incredible,
and that's,
the Big 12.
And at the top, they're pretty strong. Iowa State and Kansas are pretty strong.
Kansas,
Oklahoma's in there, and you know, obviously what we're talking about, Oklahoma State. I like Oklahoma State. I think they can surprise people. I think that they can be a very surprising, like you said, higher seed. As long
Smart,
as they don't get,
Williams, Forte.
Yeah, as long as they don't get on that 8 line, right, that 8-9 line where they have to meet a number one seed.
To avoid the number one seed, right.
I think they could go to the
Museum
and the Grade 8 and the, you know, 8.
Okay, and then the last one, Michigan State, ranked 21 or 22, I'm sorry, in the country.
I tell you what, Michigan State is your worst nightmare. Michigan
State
could lose in the first round, the second round, whatever they're calling it now, the third round, I guess, technically, the second round of real basketball, not that, They could lose in that round, and they could win it all. I still think that in my bracket, I'm going to have Michigan. Now, I haven't seen the bracket, obviously, but I still think I'm going to have Michigan State in the Final Four. So Yes, I think Michigan State can do big-time damage. I mean, they still have, to me, all the ingredients you need. They have a senior in the backcourt in Keith Appling, and they have 2 to 3 NBA players, maybe not stars, but you know, role players.
Harris,
in the NBA, Harris and Payne really being, you know, the top two. And then they've got, you know, they're coming back from some injuries. They got the coach. They've got the defensive mentality. And again, that backcourt of Harris and Appling, I love it. And Dawson and those guys up front. And Adrian Payne is the X factor because he's just a hard-to-guard player, you know, with his size, with his ability to play inside, outside. So Michigan State, to me, is a Final Four team until I see the brackets, and maybe I'll see that they don't match up well against the team, but they are definitely a team, and they're, like I said, they're your worst nightmare. If you're a four seed, you know, they blow through a five and then maybe blow through a number one seed in the next round in to go to the Final Eight.
It's going to be a great tournament. It's going to be a great tournament. And I think there's times this year where also Kansas played special even when Embiid was only playing 10, 15 minutes a game. So I think if he could come back and they could survive those first two games, Kansas is definitely dangerous if you know, Embiid comes back and they get a little, you know, moving and grooving. I think they've got a lot of talent. So before we get to the NBA, though, two teams in the Big East that are on the bubble, but I think that they might be in. What are your thoughts? Are St. John's Red Storm and the Georgetown Hoyas, will they be disappointed, or are they going to be in a field of 68?
Oh, I don't know. I think for both of them, it still depends. Maybe Georgetown is in, but I still believe that it depends a little bit on the Big East tournament and what they can do. So it's not a sure thing.
They could both win two games. I think that would it would
if
solidify
they could.
It.
I would love to see that. So, they're right there, and right now, I'm looking actually at Joe Lenardi's bracket, and Joe has St. John's first four out, and Georgetown next four out. So right now, he's got them both out.
Mm.
He's got Pitt, so Stanford, Nebraska, and Xavier. As those final four teams,
Nebraska played. They played themselves in Nebraska. Huge win over Wisconsin or whatever. So look, before we go, we got to wrap up with the NBA. I just want to ask you this: could we see sort of, we talked about it and you hinted to it, Larry Brown, Danny, and the Miracles, the great player carrying his team? Could Doug McDermott carry Creighton, who's got a pretty good team this year? Could he carry his team to a Final Four?
I don't think so. I think that he cannot. To go to the Final Four, you got to win four games. I'm not sure they can on a neutral court. They're a good team, and he's a very dynamic player, but I think that Danny and the Miracles comes along once in a lifetime. You could argue that.
Or Melo.
Well, but Melo's team was okay. He had Hakeem Warwick on his team.
Warwick and McIntyre.
He had Jerry McNamara. He had that big dude, what was his name? Scott, that blocked those two critical shots against Oklahoma State in that first round when they came back from, down 16 or so. So I'm not sure McDermott's got the team to go to the Final Four.
I would probably agree. So let's bounce to the professionals, right? Before we talk about this interesting battle and what's been going on in the West and last night, Houston and OKC, and I think Durant is stamping, still saying, hey, I'm still the MVP. I want to ask you about great games tonight. You got Golden State at the Clippers, you know, things that are affecting the standings that are going to be, you know, everybody's playoff positioning now. Everybody's got about 18. The Heat got 21 games left. Most teams, you know, 18, 19 games left. Portland at San Antonio, right? Golden State at the Clippers. The Knicks, who are hot and fighting and trying to catch Atlanta. The Knicks are at Boston.
Let's give the Knicks credit, even though it hasn't been officially announced, for bringing Phil Jackson in.
It's, I think, you know,
office.
I was going to touch on that, but I think it's the greatest move. I don't care, you know, $15 million a year, a stake in ownership, it's worth it. I think the basketball knowledge alone, the swagger, just everything, and his passion, how he loves Red Holzman and the Knicks because he won a championship here, I think it's the only move and it's the best move. And hopefully Dolan just stays out of his way. But Charlotte plays at Washington tonight. You got to watch that because that's a playoff. Detroit, Toronto, right? This is something that helps, you know, helps the Knicks. And the tanking game of the season for our caller, Mike, right? Sacramento at Philly. And by the way, DeMarcus Cousins has got so much talent. Did you see his dunk the other night on Drummond? That was ridiculous.
Right. Those
and
are
Brooklyn
two
and
young
Miami.
Studs. Two in the NBA,
yeah.
Two young big men studs. Different games, but two big studs in the NBA, which we kept saying, where are the big men? Where are the big men? Well, there are two, Cousins and Drummond.
And also, we got, and I think they got to put the, we talked about it, the centers have got to be back on the ballot, but guess who had 8 points and 10 rebounds last night? Andrew Bynum is back for the Pacers. I wanted to just ask you, though, this is an interesting game to me, Portland and San Antonio. If Portland can do anything this season, they need to go to San Antonio and win this game tonight. San Antonio's playing good again. They're hot. Portland needs a big win against a team like the Spurs, who is the creme de la creme in the West. Do you see that Portland?
Interesting, because San Antonio is the creme de la creme, but they're only 3-9 against the top teams in the West.
Right. OKC
so,
is 9-4 with the best record against the top teams.
Right. So San
now,
Antonio
you're right.
The teams they should. But they have trouble with teams that are equal to them.
Well, that's my question. I mean, can Portland, you know, make some sort of statement? Because to me, I think, you know, Portland, they'd like to get past the first round. I don't think that they have the roster to do it. You know, and making the playoffs is, I guess, a big deal. But, you know, when you get so close and you get so good, you know, they're probably going to wind up, you know, the third or fourth seed, so they should probably have home court. You know, you would think that, you know, they want to get, you know, out of that first round.
Well, right now
they're
fifth, though.
They're five.
Fifth.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so they're two games behind Houston and 2.5 behind the Clippers. So they'll probably end up being fifth, which means in the first round they're going to play Houston.
Oof,
so that's an interesting
that's
matchup.
That's a bad matchup. Well, I got to ask you, because the Rockets, you know, they've been really tough and gritty. I mean, they've been one of the best teams in the last 10 games. OKC has just been like 3-3 since Westbrook's return. But last night, I think that physical play of watching the Thunder and Rockets, it was playoff basketball. But my problem I have with the Rockets, too many threes and too many turnovers. And they're like 29th in the league on the defensive rebounding. That's not good. Do you think OKC is sort of flexing with Caron Butler there, showing that they're ready to make a run for the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I think that they should have been in the NBA Finals last year. If it wasn't for Westbrook going down, they may have. That San Antonio team is good, but I don't know if in a seven-game series their age just shows itself. And they got much better, as the Spurs did, with the emergence of Kawhi Leonard. And Bellinelli helps a lot, but I still think that when everybody's playing at their best, Westbrook and Durant are just unstoppable. And maybe the Heat are a bad matchup for them because they're just as athletic, but those two are just super, super explosive. And back to your Phoenix, I mean your well, we can talk about Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix is out right now. Dallas 8 and Memphis 7.
Yeah. Yep.
But they're all, like, so close.
We both said Memphis is going to catch somebody.
They did.
We
they came.
To debate if it's Dallas or if it's Phoenix. And yeah,
well, Bledsoe is back now. He'll be playing in the next game. So we'll see what Phoenix does tonight, and Bledsoe will be back. But I don't know if Dallas will be able to – you know, they've played two more games than Phoenix. They're 38-27. Phoenix is 36-27. So they still got a shot. I still got a shot Phoenix to make that
Phoenix's
A spot.
Phoenix's roster is the weakest of all of those nine teams, you know? I mean, with the Dragic and Bledsoe are great, but other than that, it's basically a bunch of role players. Whereas those other teams...
Don't disrespect Joe Green, playboy.
He had that great game. He had 41, and he's an ex-dunk contest winner, and, you know, we'll give him his credit. But those teams
Probably most improved
stars.
Player of the year, too.
Maybe.
Probably
maybe,
most improved.
But those teams above them have better stars and have better talent in the top seven. So from a roster perspective, you got to think those four draft picks potentially that the Suns have, they need to parlay that into a I don't want to say a star maybe, but a veteran, you know, a very good veteran player or two.
We got to say this, though, before we wrap it up. We set it off air. It's Durant and LeBron. You could say whoever you want. They could probably win the MVP, either one of them, every year. LeBron is just amazing. But I think Durant has shown that he's still, you know, the guy. But Blake Griffin could be third in the voting, and he has had – I mean, 37 the other night in that big win, but Blake Griffin, I mean, he dominated when Chris Paul was out, and he's still been dominating and just having one of those seasons where you're like, wait a minute, this is the guy that I remember coming out of Oklahoma who's now healthy and really legit. I got to give Blake Griffin some love, man.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. We talked about this off air. We said that because he was in L.A. and because he was making all those commercials, that maybe his first 2 years he was overrated as a basketball player. I mean, we always knew the potential, but this year he's really, really doing it on the court. And, you know, quiet is kept there. They've got they're the third place team in the East, I mean in the West, and Chris Paul, their supposed leader. Now he is their leader, but Chris Paul went down. Hmm. For a good few weeks in the middle of the season, and Blake Griffin is doing everything he can to put himself in the MVP running. Now, it's a year where LeBron and Kevin Durant are having exceptional years, but if I told you that he was having the year he had and his team was 45-20, you'd say, you know, mm-hmm. this guy's a legit MVP candidate. He'd probably finish third.
No, you're right, and you know who could sneak in there fourth is Joakim Noah. I mean, I can't believe the Bulls with the injuries and just not the roster. 35-29 is not the greatest record, but I think if you take away your MVP player, I don't know if the Miami Heat would be that record. And Luol Deng, and still the fourth seed in the East. I'm so impressed with Noah. You know, we might need a whole episode with one, our segment, I'm sorry, because neither Ray or I thought that he would be the best of that Florida bunch with him and Brewer and Hofford, but just as good as he is. He's a top five center in the NBA easily with a lot of, you know, the center talent is starting to develop.
Yeah, the triple-double machine
this year. Crazy. And the Bobcats are the seventh seed, baby.
Oh,
so wait,
yeah.
But real quick, though, the Knicks, the Hawks are 27-35 with the eighth seed, right? The Knicks are coming for them. Knicks are 25-40. They're right there. Two games, baby.
No, they're three and a half games back.
Oh, yeah, 3.5. Well, because of the losses.
Yeah.
Okay, three. But they're going to catch them, though.
The loss column. No, they won't.
They're going to catch them.
Don't get the Knicks fans excited. Come on.
They're going to catch them.
Don't get us Knicks fans excited. You know in your heart that the Knicks are not making the playoffs.
Let's go, Knicks.
I mean, I'm rooting
the Knicks
for them.
Have what four in a row? They got a shot. The Knicks have got a shot to run the table and win seven in a row for a bit in terms of the schedule is in their favor. They got past that hump with the Cavs. They beat Minnesota. They beat the Jazz, Philly. I think they're going to take care of Boston tonight.
The
problem is sleep
the
Knicks
won four in a row, but that's after having lost six in a row. So
seven.
They just dug themselves too deep a hole. It's funny that we're all excited about 25-40. But, you know, that's the Eastern Conference.
Hey, who would have thought Brooklyn at the sixth seed would be 32-30, playing 500 basketball, basically. I mean, the East is just – no. I don't think anybody predicted the East to be this bad this year. No, I mean, nobody
–
you know, you couldn't see
absolutely
it. So, you know, great show. We'll be back. Be back on Monday, man. Monday evening, Ray and Tay will whip out the brackets and – basically, it's just we're going to take a break from the NBA. It's going to be college basketball and some more NFL free agency, but we're just going to be doing the brackets because it's going to be a bracket show, bracketology as folks do it. For Ray and Tay, it's bracketism. You got to like that, man. So great show, and, hope everybody enjoys the rest of the week. Watch these college games. Any crazy predictions for the weekend in terms of anybody winning any tournaments that you might sleep on? You see my Terrapins running the table in the ACC to make the tournament. I told you we beat UVA, and we did it. We beat UVA.
Yep.
You got to salute my Terps, man.
I think Virginia's going to surprise people when the ACC. Why not? The defense. For the defense. You know, the Cavaliers, even though they were
Virginia.
The preseason, the regular season champs, no, everybody is probably going to pick Duke or Syracuse or maybe even Carolina. So look for Virginia maybe to win that tournament.
Okay, and I'm going to go with Oak State. I think Oak State is going to get the momentum, and they're going to win the Big 12 title and say, you know what, it's not in anybody else's hands
but
ours. We got the automatic bid.
That'll make them, sure, that'll move them up to
a 6-7 seed. Yeah,
maybe even higher if they go through if they have to beat Iowa State and Kansas and maybe somebody else in the round before. That's not bad.
Yeah, so great show, NFL free agency, baby. I hope we'll see where Darrelle Revis is going. That's going to be the most fascinating to me, Revis, and then to see if Decker signs with the Jets, Knicks, Emmanuel Sanders, where these receivers go. That's the next thing I want to watch, along with those running backs, Tate, Maurice Jones-Drew, and if Chris Johnson gets released. So, but we'll talk about it, and hit us up at Twitter at Ray and Tate today, and also shoot us your emails, and we'll have some more football and college basketball talk on Monday. Have a great weekend.
We're out.
Talking sports with friends.
Peace.
Yeah, mama wasn't home, but he complete had to just stand on his own. Come on, son, I spit it off.